Say, that's my desire. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no place we'd rather be this morning. We are thankful that he's first and foremost, front and center. We've come to worship the King. Amen. And as our brother Lucas said, we're just thrilled to have our brother Andrew Todd, and he was able to bring his wife, Sister Melissa, with him as well. So we're thankful to have her as well. It's not always that we're able to bring our other half, and it certainly is a blessing to the ministry, and it's a blessing to the church as well. I know Sister Jennifer and I have traveled places where they've never met another message-believing sister. It's just brothers that come by, right? And so we know that that's always a blessing. And it's a blessing to the wives as well that get to go. And so we're thankful that they're with us. And a great big thanks to all that labored to make the Harvest Festival a success yesterday. We'd just like to give a hand to clap to. There's lots and lots of labor that went into that. And it's always a wonderful time of fellowship that we look forward to. And, you know, I was telling some of the sisters yesterday that the smoother it goes, the easier it looks. But the more work that went behind the scenes that you don't know about, right? You don't get order from disorder, right? It takes effort, right? If you own property and then you don't go buy that property for 3 months or, you know, a period of time, you come back, it will necessarily have gone downhill, right? So everything takes effort. So we thank all of you for putting that effort forth. And it's a great time of Thanksgiving and an opportunity for quality time with those of like precious faith. And I always find myself, when we have these events, I find myself getting into conversations with the visitors that you invite. They seem to single me out, and many times they're pulling on the gift, and so we spend our time with that. And so it's not, if we didn't get to shake your hand, it wasn't because we didn't want to, or it's just how things were. For instance, I have trouble just making it to the restroom. You know, I'm just, you know, holding my breath and everything else, and, but it's all good. I'm reminded of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, where Brother Paul said, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Right? So that's why I spend time with the strangers. So I can, I mean, how do you know when you're going to fellowship with an angel? You don't, right? But our attitude will determine whether that actually happens or not, right? And what takes place. So we always want to keep that in mind. Just a couple more things before our brother comes up. Sister Baker was relating to me a little story. You know, there's always something that's memorable that come out of these kind of events. Well, she had made her dessert pie, but she recently had been experimenting with some other things, and she made this little pie that was, you know, it had a pastry shell to it and all that. But inside it, it had a cheese that's called brie, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's something that you either develop a taste for or you don't, right? It's got a strong flavor to it, right? And I think she said there was pineapple and green chili and cranberries or cranberry sauce, something that was in it, right? So she's always experimenting and trying things that, you know, we learned on Sesame Street, one of these things belongs with the other. And when we look at what she's doing, she's like, I don't know. But it surprises you. She always ends up, or usually ends up winning a prize, so I guess we can't knock it, right? Anyway, she had made this pie, and somehow it got placed in with the dessert pies, right? So far, so good. And then they had the pie judging contest. And so the judges sat down, and, wonder what kind of pie this is. And anybody know who made this? No. So they're going through and sampling the different pies, and I wish I'd had a video or been a fly on the wall to see the expression on the judges' faces, you know, as Sister Grace takes a bite of it. Okay. What were they thinking? This is different. To their credit, I don't think anyone, screamed or yelled I don't think it won first place, but in fact, I think it won, so I think Sister Baker said something like sixth place or whatever, that'd be last place, but, right, but then they find out afterwards that, what it was, and then the thought, you know, it kind of tickled my funny bone, the thought entered my mind, what if that was in the pie eating contest? That would have been interesting. Don't try this at home. Also, there was a caretaker, a custodian that is always at the events at the campground for First Southern Baptist. And the man that was serving us this time, his name is Dave, and he was very impressed with our group. And I was reminded of when Brother Branham would take his church, or his church would gather together in fellowship at the Blue Boar restaurant in back home where he was at, and they always said nice things about him and said, you know, your people are just the greatest, and we just love to hear that, right? And he went on and on about how, you know, we cleaned up everything. Everything was in order. Everything was put. It isn't always that way with all the groups that they have. And then on top of that you're just a real nice group of people. So makes us proud to hear those things. And I believe that we should hear those kind of testimonies, not because it's a put on or, but it's real. It's genuine, right? And then just a couple more things here. We have a visiting minister coming next Sunday, and so we just want to remind you of that, and that there'll be a youth-oriented service next Sunday night, Lord willing. But everyone is invited, of course. And then Brother Barry Coffey informed us that in the country of Tanzania, there's a bunch of civil unrest right now. They had an election, and I guess they're doubting the outcome, and there's a lot of violence that's resulted in it, and there's no internet, and I think usually, you know, when there's political turmoil, when they shut down the internet, it's because that's how people are communicating, so it may make it worse, I don't know, but people are staying in their homes, and it's hard to even come to church, and so Brother Barry said that they did have a service, but only a few believers were able to come to the service there in Arusha. But let's remember them in our prayers, right? Keep them before the Lord. And we know the devil is going about as a roaring lion, and he's doing whatever he can to sow discord and disrupt. And you know, if anything, we should not take it for granted the liberty that we still have, right? And anyway, so we're going to invite our brother to come, and we just want whatever the Lord has for us this morning, as always. Once again, he's hailing from End Time Message Tabernacle in Edmonton. Brother Ed Hammermeister being the pastor there. And we just really enjoyed our brother's ministry the last time he was here, and we expect to pull in the gift this morning and get what the Lord has for us. Amen. 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 He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. That wonderful. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Amen. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I know I'll be just fine. Hallelujah. 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 You believe that with all your heart? How many are going to be just fine? Amen. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. Because of him. Amen. I was just reading a quote this morning. Brother Branham says, he says, he knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows what you're going to think in the next 5 seconds. He knows what you're going to think tomorrow. He knows your name. It's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? Amen. You can have your seats for a minute. You've been standing a long time. Amen. Your pastor keeps you standing. He knows you're a patient people. Amen. God bless you. I sure appreciate Brother Doug and the invitation to come back again. And I'm always so humbled when a brother had me come a second time. I thought, well, I didn't mess up too bad. So, and yesterday he was wondering if he could call my wife, my better half, and well, you just got to look at her and you know she's better. So, absolutely. And sir, I'm happy to have her here with me today. What an honor to be again with all of you here. As I was just telling Brother Doug in the back, I said, you know, when he invited me, my initial thought was I'd really like to come and be with you all again and just to see everyone. And
be with you and greet you and just shake your hand. If that's all it was, that'd be enough. But I just, with everything I had going on at home, I thought, Lord, I don't know how I can get away. I don't know how I can make this work. And maybe we could do springtime or something. And as I prayed about it, the Lord just dropped in my heart and said, you need to be there. So we're here for a reason. It's the best I can tell you. I've learned to trust the Lord. And so we're here for a reason. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. You can have your seats. I don't mean to hold you there any longer, even though you certainly bring up the stage value being up here. Amen. And why don't we just take our Bibles together? I know I told you to have your seats, but we'll stand again. Just exercise our legs a little bit and bring you greetings from Brother Hammermeister. I know he's been here and ministered, and he sure loves you all and sends his greetings. And let's turn to the book of John, if you would. John chapter 20. Amen. I want to take a simple thought this morning that the Lord really impressed on my heart last weekend to bring today. And we'll call it, Blessed Are You. Blessed Are You. Amen. And we'll just take it the way I minister. I'm always nervous when I get up to speak and nervous when I get invited. But you know, well, you poll, I'll preach. And the Lord will be pleased when we believe the word. Amen. And he'll come in our presence. When you start talking about him, he draws nigh. And that's what we've been doing already. We've been singing about him. He's here. How many believe he's here this morning? Amen. It's not just because you're singing him, but you know what? You brought him with you. Amen. If you're born again, you got the Holy Ghost down in your heart. You brought God with you. You're the one that makes this service a service. Preaching isn't just the preacher. It's the puller too. Amen. And I know you all love the Lord and you're here to hear the word. So let's just turn to John chapter 20, verse 26. They got it up there already. And it says, And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither my finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're mindful, Lord, that as we read these words, Lord, these are not the words of just a man. But Father, this is you, Lord, in flesh, risen from the dead, Lord, coming and speaking words that are eternal and of value, Lord, that are beyond the value of gold and anything, Lord, that we could put carnal value to, Lord. This is greater, Father. Lord, we could stake our eternal destination upon these words. We pray this morning, Lord, as I don't have anything, Lord, that could help these people, but Lord, they're your children, they're your sheep. Father, we pray you come feed them once more. Lord, we commit the reading of the word, the hearing of it into your hands. Lord, we want also you would remember, Lord, the saints in Tanzania. Lord, the unrest they're going through and the struggles, Lord, of daily life like that. And Father, may you be with them, Lord Jesus. Watch over your children as you promised you would be with them, even in them to the end of the world. Lord, we commit them into your hands, Lord. The saints in Jamaica as well, Father, having suffered the wrath of Melissa, Father, would you be with them, Lord? We commit them, Lord, into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may have the comfort of your seats if you'd like. I would just like to start here this morning as we jump back a scripture. We know the story very well of Thomas and how that Jesus had risen from the dead and the disciples were together and some began to testify saying, we saw the Lord. And Thomas began to speak up and saying, unless I could touch the nail prints in his hands, unless I could reach my hand into his sides, I couldn't believe it was him. I gotta see it for myself. I gotta know. I gotta see the sign, in other words, that this really is him. Right. Amen. I gotta really see that this really is the Christ, the one that I saw crucified. I know what he was like, but now you're telling me this is him, but I need to see it for myself. But then Jesus begins to tell him, don't be faithless, but believing.
Don't be faithless. He doesn't look at him and say, listen, it's wrong to say this or it's wrong to want to see signs. But he says, don't be faithless. In other words, and Jesus is saying this, as we know, really the faith, that when the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know that that scripture, it's talking really of saying the faith is Christ in you performing his word. But beyond that, he's saying this is before the Holy Ghost was given. He says, don't be without trust. In other words, he knew exactly what was happening, exactly what Thomas had said, that there was a testimony that had gone forth, but Thomas didn't trust the testimony of the other disciples. Thomas wasn't trusting what somebody else was saying. I seen him. I know it's real. You can trust me. He says, no, I gotta see it. But he says, don't be that way. Don't be without trust. And Brother Branham would say in 1948, he would say the hardest thing God's ever had to do was to get one mortal to believe another mortal. To get one man all the way down to just days after Christ was risen from the dead, still one mortal couldn't believe another mortal. Amen. They'd walked with the Lord. He told them he'd raise after 3 days. He told them all these things, and still one mortal couldn't believe another mortal. So don't be discouraged when he's saying, I'm telling you it's true. And somebody says, I just don't believe it. It's the hardest thing God's ever had to do. And God can do. God has created the world. He put the stars in the sky. He made the earth to revolve and dwell in this habitable zone around the sun and then just spin perfectly and be on time. And he made the trees. He made the grass. He made all these things in the ocean and all that dwells therein and all the beasts. And he made you beautifully and wonderfully made. But the hardest thing he's ever had to do was to get you to believe me. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? But in all of it, you see, that's the hardest thing God had to do. But the fact that you could do that proves that you're able to believe the Lord. You're able to have faith. You're able to go beyond the skepticism that naturally lies in human nature. Don't think it's strange when sometimes you get that way and I gotta see something more. That's just human nature. But God dwells beyond the human nature. He wants to bring you beyond a fallen nature. Amen. He wants to bring you into something that's able to not just see the heavenlies, not just see the supernatural, but is able to experience, comprehend, and understand a supernatural God. Amen. The fact that a God that could create the heavens and earth would desire to come down and live and dwell in and to be understood by a human people. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to be God way up there somewhere. He wants to be God in you. Living in you, breathing in you. Amen. So faith, don't be without trust. And I want to just take a step back if we could as Elijah would have a time that he would live at a certain time where the people were tossed, the Bible says, between two opinions. They were uncertain of who to trust and where to go, and they're uncertain of who you could even talk to live in such a time. Who can I even testify to that's not going to report me to the authorities and I'm going to be put to death? Because that's what Jezebel was doing. Right? She was killing all the prophets of the Lord. Anyone that was openly worshiping God, just kill them. We're going to get rid of this religion. And so the trust was just not there. But God hates faithlessness. He hates it when somebody is unable to trust somebody else. So he brought it to such a showdown that Elijah would come and bring the showdown and say, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then follow him. But God is so certain of it, he says, but if Baal is God, then serve him. If this God that Jezebel's promoting, if this God that's been introduced to you is God, then go that way. If it can cause you to live an overcoming life, then serve him. Amen. If you got something other than the message that'll cause you to be overcoming, if you got something other than the Spirit of God that will cause you to overcome the world, then go live it. But I can tell you there's nothing other than the Spirit of Jesus Christ that is capable of overcoming the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. And God so hates faithlessness that he says, I'll give you a sign. And he gave them a sign that day as he called that kind of a showdown up on Mount Carmel. He said, if Baal be God, then have faith in Baal. If God be God, have faith in God. But stop halting between two opinions. Stop going back and forth. Stop trying to be around this person, I'm a Christian. Around this person, I'm a Baal worshiper. Around this person, I'm too holy for sports. But around this person, I like sports. Come on. You're just living a hypocritical life. Around this person, I'm just a holy Christian every single day. And my, we're so pious. But around this person over here, I got everything in common. Why? Stand for what you believe. Amen. Be a good person. It's that simple. Amen. Love the Lord with all your heart. The one over here will appreciate you more, and the one over there will appreciate you more. Amen. That's not in my notes either, but here we go. We're kind of already off the notes. Amen. So if I can say it this way, stop being a coward. Stand for what is right. Praise God. So happy Brother Andrew's back. He told me stop being a coward. Amen. But stop. God, Brother Branham says God hates a coward. Someone that's unwilling to stand for the truth and stand for what's right. And not just that, but stand for what they believe. Amen. I'm not talking about fighting and being contentious with each other, but just realizing and saying, brother, if that's the way you want to go, God bless you, but I can't walk with you, because how could two walk together unless they be agreed? Amen. So we need to understand that God has put us in a position, in a place that we're in, and He wants us to have confidence where we are at. And have confidence in the place that He's put us, the fact that He put you in this church. He desires for you to have confidence in the pastor, to have confidence in the word that's ministered, not to be running to and fro, well, I heard it different before, but rather, Lord, You've got me here for a reason, so what do You want to say to me today? Amen. What do You want to say to me next week? What do You want to say to me the week after? And all of it, the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. It's for your perfection. It's to bring you to a place that God saw before the foundation of the world. Amen. That when God looked at you before the world was ever formed, listen, you were in the thoughts of God. Amen. No matter where you're at today, there was a time that God thought of you. But hold on a second. God is eternal. God can't think a new thought. So in other words, if you were ever on the mind of God, you're a part of Him. Amen. He didn't think of you one day, oh, I forgot about Brother Doug. I really better include him in the program. No, He always thought of Brother Doug. He was always on God's mind. Amen. If He ever was a son, He always was a son. He had to go through a period that He had to be born in sin because of Adam and Eve, because of the things that the world had to go through. Why? So God could express Himself as a Savior. All of it is to bring glory to the Almighty. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But in all of this, just stop being a coward. Just convinced. Don't, a coward is convinced by the next great thing. You got them in sports, right? I wonder how many new Dodgers fans there are today. Hey, man, how many got up this morning and think, I know, I think I'm going to get me a Dodgers hat. I'm going to burn this old Blue Jays hat now. Just a coward. Unable to stand for what they believe in. Just someone that's off for the next great thing and the next great thing, and jump on this bandwagon, jump on that bandwagon, the next ministry come through town and he can really preach and he's prayed for somebody and they got healed. I'm his fan. That's the man to follow. No, we're following Christ. Right. Amen. And then we're following that. We're following this time. We're following that time. There's plenty of signs that the message is true. Amen. There's plenty of reasons. If you want to look for the negative, you'll find the negative. Hallelujah. The children of Israel going through the wilderness had manna every day. They had shoes that did not wear out. They had clothes that didn't go threadbare. They had, so many healings, and nobody was sick and everything that was going on. It was a wonderful time. They had a brazen serpent that they could look to and live. And wow, but Balaam found something bad to look at. You look at all the wonderful testimonies of what God's doing. I'm going to encourage you this morning. Stay focused on that. Stay focused on the Word of God, because it will keep you focused on the positive and not on the humanity of your brother and sister sitting next to you. Amen. Why don't you look at your brother next to you or your sister? Just go ahead and look at them. That's not your worst enemy. Your worst enemy is sitting in the same seat you're sitting in. It ain't them. It's you. And you're not my worst enemy. That's me. I'm stuck with this guy that I gotta overcome. And you can all say praise God that you don't have to overcome me. Amen. You got your own battles. I got my battles. But the Lord knows what you're thinking. The Lord knows your battles. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows your name. Amen. Will you look at the sign that Baal tried to produce? The sign that Baal tried to produce
They tried to produce a sign. They made an altar. They made a sacrifice. They put the wood under it. And it was the most emotional service you've ever sat in. There was more screaming in that service than you've ever seen in a message church. Oh, they were jumping up and down and they were screaming. They were cutting themselves. They were offering their life to God, their God. We'll do anything for you. We'll cut ourselves. We'll scream. We'll holler. We'll throw ourselves on the altar. We'll beat the altar over and over again. We'll do all these things. And what an emotional time. You could have been caught up in the emotion and felt like there was a spirit there that was just overwhelming you, and it was entertaining. The Bible doesn't record that anybody left. They all sat and watched. They all partook. They all were just there watching and observing and wondering what's going on. And wow, he must really be a God because all of this is going on. But all of it was just an emotional workup. It didn't lead to anything supernatural. It didn't lead to anything that proved there was even a Baal. That proved that there was even a God that they so called or that they worshiped so sincerely. And so ferociously, and so with so much tenacity, they were willing to kill themselves for it. What a place to, what a service to set in. A whole lot different than Elijah's service. About the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah started picking up stones. Elijah, this is so boring. Aren't you going to dance? No, we're just going to pick up stones. When are you going to start screaming and shouting and getting all of them? No, we're just going to put the word in order. We're going to rebuild the altar. We're going to put the word of God back in its place. It wasn't emotionally exciting. It wasn't something that you could look at and be entertained by. But yet, it was God moving. God was working the whole time, giving them a sign, something that could overcome the world. He starts rightly placing the word. And then he washes the vessel. Washes the sacrifice. Pours water on it. Bring more water. Dig a trench around it. Fill up the trench. In other words, it defied science. You could not scientifically prove the sign that God was going to give. Because scientifically, water doesn't burn. Waterlogged logs are not great firewood. Water-covered stones don't burn so great. Trenches full of water are not conducive to combustion. What are you thinking about here? This isn't going to happen. You can't scientifically prove any sign that God's willing to give. But God was going to give a sign. A supernatural sign that he came down in a pillar of fire and he consumed the sacrifice and he consumed the wood and he consumed the altar and he consumed the water in the trench and left nothing but scorched earth sitting right there, leaving there going, this is God. Amen. God is truly God. Amen. But what did it do? What did the people do? Did they immediately turn and, all right, praise God, we're going to be a message church. Let's kill Jezebel. It went on. It went on again, longer and longer. But finally, the word of God was made manifest. Yes, sir. Through a guy named, I think it was Micaiah. That finally comes and they're going to go take back Ramoth-Gilead and it's ours. And they got 400 prophets come out. And now we've taken the message and we've kind of, you know, made it into something that makes a little more sense. Because these weren't prophets of Baal. Understand that. 400 prophets were not prophets of Baal. They were 400 prophets of God that were in a school that Jezebel and Ahab decided, and we're going to reinstitute this school because you know God is God. So we're going to have a little hybrid message over here. We're going to try and make it make sense to everybody. And make sure we train up man that, you know, they know enough of the supernatural just to understand that God is God. But really, they're going to do what we want them to do. But God said, no, my word is not mocked. It will not return unto me void. It will do that which I've sent it out to do. And he'd already prophesied through Ahab, the dogs are going to lick up your blood. So they come and they got their 400 prophets. Yes, with these ram's horns, you will drive them out of Ramoth-Gilead. Just mount them on your chariot. You'll have a one of a kind. It'll be the wonderful chariot. You'll drive them out. It'll be wonderful. It'll look great. You can preach a message and look good doing it.
Praise God, but God said the foolishness of preaching, souls would be saved.
Right.
My, they've beautified everything. But now we've got just something coming, humility and simplicity. One man. Because there was a Christian, Jehoshaphat, that said, you got one more. This all sounds good, but you know, it just doesn't sit right in my soul. Something isn't clicking down inside my heart. You got one more prophet? He said, yeah, I got one, but I don't like him. He didn't go to my school. He doesn't prophesy the things that I like to hear. He's always talking bad about me. He's got nothing good to say. He called me a coward in service. Give me somebody else. He said, no, I'd like to hear him. And what did he do under pressure? Micaiah came in under pressure. Just give us the word of the Lord. He said, no problem. Let me go pray. You're so boring, Micaiah. I wanted you to come up here and just preach a great service. You're making us wait. Causing us to pray, yeah. You got to wait for the unction of the Holy Spirit. I said it this way before, I'll say it again. Sometimes you might say, why isn't the pastor dealing with this? I see a problem. I'm just sticking up for you now. It's all right. I see a problem in my church, in this church, and the pastor ain't doing nothing. God, help him. Maybe he's waiting on the Lord. Maybe he's recognized, I can't fix this on my own. I need God. Lord, what do you want me to do? What direction do I take? Who do I speak to? Pray for your pastor. God will come by his way. Just like Micaiah would be able to pray and wait on the Lord. And he'd come and say, yeah, go on up. And Ahab was so convinced that Micaiah, he said, no. Don't you do that to me, Micaiah. Trying to trick me into going up there. What are you talking about? He says, yeah, I see Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. The word of God will be manifested. It will come to pass exactly as he said it would. There's nothing the devil can do to stop it. Amen. His sign hasn't changed today. If something other than the Holy Spirit, as I said before, can give you an overcoming life, go live it. If something other than the pillar of fire coming down and consuming your life can cause you to overcome the world, then go get that something. But Baal tried. The prophets of Baal tried. They did everything they could to try and produce something that could overcome. Something that could prove that there was a real God in what they believed. But it couldn't produce it. It took a fire, the Holy Ghost fire, to come down and prove that God is God. Just the same way it is today. You can have all the psychology books. You can have all the philosophy books. You can have all of the 7 steps, 12 steps, 35 steps, however many steps you want to take to try and overcome something. Let me tell you something. It will not change your heart. Dr. Dobson hasn't changed the heart. He's changed a lot of minds. But it's the Holy Ghost that'll change your heart. It's the Holy Ghost that will burn out what's on the inside. That old serpent nature and put in there a real true dove nature. It's the Holy Ghost that will put his own life within you and cause you, not just help you, cause you to overcome the world. Amen. God's looking for someone that will have faith. Because there's one Spirit, there's one baptism, there's one Lord, there is one faith that can produce a life that overcomes the world. Amen. What we need, Brother Branham would say today, is men and women of principle. Men and women that are willing to stand for what's right. He says, where's the George Washingtons? Where's the ones that will stand for principle, stand for what they believe in? God, as I said, hates faithlessness because greater is he, the Bible says, that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. It doesn't matter how much military, how much evil spirits, how much you walk down the street and you see all kinds of sin. All kinds of horrible things, and you got transgender now, and you got all kinds of ridiculousness that the devil has created in the world today. But all of that is not greater than the God that's in you. Amen. All of that is not able to overcome that. He's nothing but a scare tactic. Amen. Have faith in him. Believe. Don't be faithless. And I want to be very specific this morning because I'm not speaking about some kind of mind over matter to perform miracles. I'm not even really talking about faith enough just to perform miracles, because often that's what we think about when we have faith. We see somebody have a miracle happen in their lives, like, that one's got faith. And that's immediately what we equate it to, is if you got a miracle, you could have a testimony, then that's faith. That's not what it's talking about. There's a greater and a deeper faith in that. Miracles follow faith in the Word of God. But that's not the proof of the faith. I'm speaking of the taking God at His Word. Amen. Amen. Take God at His Word, the kind of faith that will live the Word. Brother Brown says, in events made clear by prophecy, he says, all eyes this way, out in the land, he says, don't miss this now. He says, we've tried to tell you that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh my, so simple, isn't it? Wrote by God Himself. Through the lips and instrumentality of man. He said, God can write Himself, God can speak Himself, God could do whatever He wants to, but He chose man to do it because the man that wrote it is part of God. Amen. So God wrote the Bible. Man didn't even know what He was writing in their own human thinking. They might even disagree with it, but they wrote it. Think about that. God so overtook their beings. Let me finish the quote, then we'll carry on. He says, they couldn't. The Bible said, man of old, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, God moved their hand. God moved their eyes in the visions. They could say nothing but what they were looking at. They could speak nothing because they were full. God had full control of tongue, finger. Every organ of the body was in full sway with God. Oh, hallelujah. Every organ of the body was in full sway with God. In other words, this word that we have today, this wasn't just nice tales. And it's not just nice words and poetic words written of by man. It's not just psalms that are songs, but rather God moved on man of old. The Spirit of God so overtook them, they didn't have a choice but to write what they wrote. The fact that David would write, my bones, they stare at me, and he's looking at it going, why did I write that? My bones are fine. Isaiah would write, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Why did I write that? How is that even possible? But yet he wrote it, and whether or not he agreed with it, he had to write it that way because God so overtook every organ of his body. Amen. God so overtook every organ of Jeremiah's body. The fact that Jeremiah would be the one to write that God was good, knows you, and he's able to bring you to an expected end. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, the one that was there when Israel was taken into captivity, all these things that were going on around him, he says, God's bringing me to an expected end. He knows exactly who I am. He's got everything under control. And he's looking at it going, it sure don't look that way. We're a conquered people. This is happening. That's happening. This is going on. But God knows. Amen. And He's the one that's in control. Why? God took over every fiber of His being in order to write it this way. Oh my. That ought to encourage you if you're struggling with any amount of sickness in your body. God is able to take over every organ of your body. Amen. No matter what it is. If I got diabetes, God's able to take over your pancreas. God's able to take over your heart for heart disease. God's able to take over your stomach and fix those issues. God's able to take over your mind and fix all of the mental illnesses. God is more than able to take over still today and use man of God, amen, and cause you to be a walking, talking, living testimony. Hallelujah. No wonder the Bible said that they were gods. It said they were a part of God and He is the fullness of God. Amen. So then faith, we know in the scripture, says comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by just listening to somebody recite testimonies and hear stories of hunting and all of these different things. Those things are wonderful, but they were there to glorify the Lord, to bring you, to point you back to the Word, because it's the Word that will build faith in the hearts of the believers. Hallelujah. He said in Galatians chapter 3 verse 2 to 7, he said, this only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the law, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Amen. How did you receive the Spirit? You didn't receive it by your good living. You didn't receive it by some kind of living in the works of the law, but rather it was the hearing of faith that caused you to cry out and God give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, are you so foolish to have begun in the Spirit and are now made perfect by the flesh? Whew. Are we so foolish to think that now we're made perfect, now that we've got the Holy Ghost, now I just need to live perfect. Now I just need to make sure I don't do something wrong or be seeing the wrong person and be doing the... No, he says the flesh isn't going to perfect you. The Spirit is what started the work. The Spirit will finish the work. Amen. God is faithful to finish all that he started. Amen. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he says, that he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. In other words, what do the miracles follow? The hearing of faith. It follows the word. Amen. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Hallelujah. They which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. This is the seed that the Bible was talking about. Your seed shall inherit. To Abraham, when he promised him that his seed, it wasn't because Brother Branham would say, and the Bible would talk about how that Abraham got remarried, had many other sons and daughters, but the one he was talking about was the promised one through Isaac. And through that, he said, that was the natural seed, but there also was a spiritual seed, which was a faith seed that was able to take the word and to believe the same way Abraham did. And Abraham was not perfect. Hallelujah. You with me? Abraham lied. And he learned his lesson after lying once. No, he did it a second time. He tried the same trick twice. Why? Because he just had a human flesh. But it's still, God looked at that and said, he staggered not at the promise of God. In other words, there was nothing in his soul, down in his heart, that staggered at the promise of God. There was nothing in him to not believe. Amen. There was no unbelief in him. And you might look and say, Brother Andrew, I thought I was born again, but boy, did I mess up. Boy, did I make a mistake. But them that are born of God does not commit sin. That's why it's so important, the message that we've received today when Brother Branham brought the truth of what sin is, that sin is unbelief. Amen. It's not making a mistake. It's not going out in your flesh falling and something happening, because you're still human and you will be until the redemption of these mortal bodies. However, you have the Holy Ghost in you that's able to convict you and bring you back to repentance and bring your flesh back in subjection to the Word of God. That's Romans 8:11 for you. That says, if the same Spirit that dwelt, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. In other words, it will bring your mortal, corruptible flesh subject to the Word of God by the faith that dwells in you in the Spirit of God. Isn't he wonderful? Take God at his word, and believing it is enough to overcome the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham would say, how do we overcome? He says, keep the word in you. How do I overcome? Keep the word in you. How do I overcome lust? Keep the word in you. How do I do that, Brother? Do I got to constantly listen to the message? Do I have to constantly read the Bible? You don't have to constantly read it. You don't have to constantly listen to it. But think on these things. Meditate upon these things. When Satan comes by your way, just start thinking about the scripture. Let me tell you something. It don't have to be a scripture about lust. If you're struggling with lust, you don't have to go and pick up your Bible and start going, all right, Brother Doug, where's that scripture about lust? I need a specific one. No, just take the word. It can be so simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why? Because Satan hates the word. It is also written. Oh, but what about this? What about that? What about this? What about the reality of Jesus Christ living in flesh again? What about him? This is him in written form. What about him in flesh form? Are you talking about his corporate body? No, I'm talking about his bride. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? We better finish our foundation. How are we doing? Oh, I didn't start my timer, so I got no idea where I am. We doing all right? All right. Did you know the greatest miracle you'll ever see is not overcoming your temptation? The greatest miracle you'll ever see is a new birth. Is that God would take you, that God would take me, a sinner, and put his own life in there. Give me a whole new life. Drain out, if I could say it this way,
drain out, but I got a quote for it later on, drain out my blood and put his blood in there. It literally would be the life of Christ living. That's a miracle. Not even the greatest miracle you'll ever see, is it cancer being healed? That's a great miracle, but that ain't the greatest. The greatest miracle you'll ever see is not the body change. No, because you've already been changed on the inside. God's already changed you from line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He's changed you from what you once were into what his thoughts of you from the beginning were. The Brennan would say when we take the body change, it's just stepping from this dimension into the next dimension. It's just changing these five senses. It's just taking off this corruptible body and putting on a theophany body. Just the word that is already on the inside. Taking body form and stepping into the eternities with God. What a wonderful thing. This is the greatest miracle you've ever seen. If you've been born again, you've already seen it. Hallelujah. You've already been a witness to what faith in God can do. Hallelujah. That you don't crave the old things you once craved. You don't look for the old sinful things you once craved after. You sought after. You just wanted nothing more than to drink and smoke and carouse and do all these different things and lie and cheat and steal. And oh my, you wanted nothing more than that. But now you can't stand it. It's a stench to you. You don't want to be around it. But oh, you can't wait to be in the presence of God. You can't wait to dwell in his tents forever. Like David that once, oh, well, he was a man, but something about it come on the inside. He just began to move and said, I just want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If I could just write his word upon my bedpost, if I could meditate in it day and night, let me just have God. Amen. Amen. Let the rest of it fade away. But there's nothing I want more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God himself, amen, giving you a whole new life, eternal as his own is eternal. Hallelujah. Amen. Overcoming the world. It's not a great miracle. Sorry to knock you down a notch or two. Because he already did it. He proved that the weakest of Christians can overcome the enemy. By the word. Amen. It is also written. Amen. Then it isn't a workup of emotions and a great mental fortitude or ability or talents or gifts that causes you to live an overcoming life. All of those things are wonderful, and we're thankful to God for every gift in the body, for every ability, for every talent, for everything that he's given us. But that doesn't cause you to overcome. If anything, Satan uses those things to try and get to you. But rather, it's his spirit. He literally took over Old Testament prophets to write the word. They were so overwhelmed by the spirit that he moved their voice and hands to write and say every thought of God. As Jeremiah chapter 29 would write, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." For 2 Chronicles, who would come out through Solomon, and he would begin to speak in his prayer, "If my people, when they called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands." Why would he say something like that? God was moving through Solomon. Zechariah would write and said, "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." Amen. That God is jealous. Zion is the bride. That God is jealous over you. God is so zealous for you. He's jealous over you that he desires you to be perfected. Isaiah 49, it says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, and she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." In other words, these are not poetic sayings, but rather these are the thoughts of God towards you. That God took over the beings of man and began to write them out for your benefit. So that you would know exactly what he thinks about you. Blessed are you.
Amen. That God would write these things. If you could look this morning, and we'll just go over it briefly for the sake of time, at David and Goliath, as we know the story so very well. The difference that David came with is that Goliath had come for 40 days and had made his boast and had made his boast and had made his boast. And all the different men of the army were too scared. Why? They were all comparing their ability, their training, their weapons. And they were looking at us saying, I cannot overcome that. And they were right. Hallelujah. They were right. You and I cannot overcome the devil by our ability, by our ways, by our training. We can go to every theology school. We can learn everything about every book that's ever been written. It ain't going to overcome the enemy. But David came with a different thought. David came along and realized, this isn't about me against him. He challenged God. So this is about my God and what the word says about me against what the word says about him. And let me tell you what the word says about them that would defy the armies of God. It ain't good. But what the word says about me, he said, I'm anointed to be king. So I can't die. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing I can do to die because, listen, he said, I'm going to be king and I ain't king yet. So I'm going to make it there. So the word says this about me. I'm anointed. I know what I'm doing. It was not a fair fight between David and Goliath, and not in Goliath's favor. It was not a fair fight in David's favor. The fact that he had a God. He had a God that was living, that was more than able to take a stone, that he could have shot it the wrong direction and the stone would have gone the right direction. Hallelujah. Because God gave him the confidence to recognize that the word of God says, I'm more than an overcomer. The word of God says that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. It ain't my battle anyways. God's fighting it. I'm just the tool that he's using, and he's more than able to use it as he would please. Hallelujah. Whatever you're fighting this morning, whatever devil that's come against you, it's not your battle. Amen. If you're willing to just subject yourself to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, I'm done trying. I'm going to let you try from now on. Amen. I'm done trying to use my own abilities to do better and to live a better life and to overcome some kind of evil spirit. But rather, Lord, you have already overcome. So I'm going to take you at your word and believe no matter what I see, hear, feel, smell, or touch, I am going to believe the word. Hallelujah. God can use somebody like that. Hallelujah. That's how he was able to use our prophet so well. Because he took God at his word. Amen. The word said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that did not end in December of 1965. He's still the same today. He's still the same and he will always be the same. He's still more than able to meet you exactly where you're at. Amen. Let me just preach for a little bit and then we'll close. Because we find that people today, they still want to go back to the sign. They still want to go back to a first pull and a second pull and preaching that somehow the revival of the bride is a restoration of gifts. That ain't it. That ain't what God's trying to bring the bride to. God's trying to bring the bride to a place of perfection, that she would be the Word made flesh exactly as he was the Word made flesh, so that God living in you could do the greater works. Amen. Then the greater works is not speaking in tongues. The greater works is not just the gift of wisdom. The greater works is the fact that you could be a lived voice. Amen. A testimony, living holy and godly in the most godless age, in the most godless country. Hallelujah, that you could be a child of God, living and breathing the Holy Spirit. That your blood is not your blood anymore, but it's royal heavenly blood. His life flowing through you with every heartbeat. Hallelujah. God desires a people that will believe it. Say, I ain't never seen any signs and wonders, but you've seen the word of God. Believe the word of God. The message that came, it didn't just come in word or in deed, but it came in word also. Amen. It came to bring you to perfection. Amen. The signs that he came in the hand and the sign by knowing the secrets of the heart, that was God proving it was him about to deliver the message. Amen. That it wasn't a man. It wasn't the thoughts of William Branham that was speaking in the seven seals. It wasn't the thoughts of William Branham that began to speak messages like, and knoweth it not. It wasn't the thoughts of William Branham that got up and said, the seed is not air with the shuck. It wasn't the thoughts of William Branham. He was proving, it's me. It's the same God, the same Elohim that met Abraham on the plains of Mamre. I'm the same one that hung on a cross and raised again on the third day. And I'm here again to deliver a message to you, to bring you back to the original seed. Amen. Amen. So you could come and be with me and reign forever. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God has already performed the work. He's already performed it. He's looking for someone that believes it's already done. He's looking for someone that will take him at his word. That it says that this mortal shall put on immortality. When it says that we shall be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. He's looking for someone that will believe it with all of their heart. And take him at his word. Amen. Not constantly looking back and saying, I need a sign. I need a sign. Janice and Jambres were looking for signs. They said, we've got a message and we've got this. You don't need this furtherance of the gospel. You don't need to come out of Egypt. We got the power of turning sticks into snakes, and we got the power of making frogs, and we got the power of making lice, and we got the power of all these things. Listen, there's a lot of ministries that got a lot of power, but what about the word? Brother Branham says that's what you got to do. You got to take the message they're preaching and take it back to the original word and see if it lines up. Oh, hallelujah. Something just broke in me. So I hope you're with me this morning. Because I hope you understand that we're not looking to go back to what Brother Branham had. Amen. We're looking to go forward with what he preached. Amen. To go forward with the message, because he was the voice of the word. Just the same as Moses was the voice of the word. And Christ was the voice of the word. And Paul was the voice of the word. And now in our day, we've had Brother Branham be the voice of the word. But he was not the final voice. Oh no, the bride of Jesus Christ is the final voice to the final age. And her words are not her own, but rather it is his word. And she becomes the voice of the word by his word being made manifest in her. Oh, hallelujah. Satan doesn't care how much the word is in written form. He's not concerned about message books and message tapes. He's concerned about when it becomes flesh. Oh, hallelujah. He's concerned about when it becomes flesh. He tried everything he could with the children of Israel to keep them out of the promised land. He had a Dathan and a Korah raise up that eventually they rose up and said, Moses, oh, think of it. God proved Moses over and over and over again that this is the voice of the word. This is the one involved. But still, there came a time that Dathan and Korah rose up and said, you think you're the only holy one? Why? The word had come to a place where they began to recognize who they were. Moses and Aaron begin to recognize, and Joshua and Caleb begin to recognize, hey, we're more than able. We can take this inheritance. This is ours. We've got this. God has given it to us. Wherever the four foots would tread, we've got this. But Dathan and Korah rose up and said, oh, you make yourself God. You ain't the only holy one here. We're all holy. We can all do this. No, 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 no. And they said, you missed it by a million miles. Moses could say, it was never me. Aaron could say, it was never me. Joshua could say, it was never me. But there's a God in me that's pushing me, that I can't help it. It's causing me to overcome the world. It's causing me to live an overcoming life. That's why 5 spies went over. 10 of them came back and says, we need to go back to what was. We're missing the miracles now, guys. I went over there. There was no manna over there. I went over there. Oh, my, think of it. The manna didn't fall in the morning when I got up. They were over there for more than a day. And they went over there. They woke up. And they just kind of, there's no manna. We're out of God's will. There's no manna. Where's the water from the rock? They got all confused. The message was going on. He was saying, listen. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm bringing you to a place that you now, the water flows from you. That the word doesn't fall from heaven and it just manna on the ground, but it's growing right there. Grapes, it's come to a further perfection than what you once had. Amen. Now that's what the message came to do. The signs came to point to the word, and the word came to bring you into your inheritance, where you're no longer looking, banging on the pastor's door, saying, I need you to pray for me. I'm weak and I'm sick and I'm all these things. But rather that you could stand up and say, I believe by his stripes I am healed. Amen. I believe. Amen. That though these skin worms the floor destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And that no matter what happens to me, everything's going to be just fine. Hallelujah. Because God is in control of me. He's living and breathing through me. He's alive and well. It's just as John would say, try the spirits whether they be of God. If someone confesses he's not come in the flesh, he's not of God. But if one confesses he is now, present tense, come in the flesh, that's a good spirit. Hallelujah. Oh my. Just as it was Jesus. All that Adam lost, Jesus proved he restored. Adam could stop nature. Jesus stopped nature. In Adam there was no death until there was sin. But in Jesus, there was no death. He could raise the dead. He done everything. He says, and the world is groaning today. This is from the unfailing realities of the living God. He says, the world is groaning today, the Bible said, for the manifestation of the sons of God. For God to get into his children again in realities to make things real. What things? These things. That God could get into you, Brother JJ. That God could get into you. That God could get into you, Brother Andy. That God could get into you to make this real. You know, that's what eyewitnesses of Brother Branham said was the most phenomenal thing. He made this live. Let that be your testimony. So that's just for Brother Branham. He was the wave sheaf over you. For you to come to that maturity. To realize you are called to make this live. Oh, hallelujah. You know what the next statement Brother Branham says in that quote is? It's phenomenal. He says, and it stumbles the people. You get God living in you so much that this becomes a reality. They will do exactly what Dathan and Korah did. You think you're the only holy one? Yeah. Oh, you think you're somebody? You could just speak and it happened? Yeah, I do think that. Because that's what the word said. Ask whatever you will in my name and it will be done. Brother Brown says when you got saved and you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you a checkbook and he signed every check in that checkbook. You know what he said about that? He says, you need to co-sign for it. You need to put your name on the check. Yeah. Amen. You need to put your name on the check. So it ain't just him and him alone. It's him and the bride. It's Christ and his bride. Amen. That he's looking for somebody that will have enough faith to really recognize, I am him. I'm sorry, I didn't quote it verbatim. But the Branham said, she is him. But when you put your name in there, and you recognize I'm a part of the bride. Therefore I. And it stumbles the people. And they look at it and go, they no. That's too much for me. Let's go back. That's that same spirit that was on Jannes and Jambres. Same spirit on Dathan and Korah. Same spirit on Balaam. Same spirit on 10 spies. Let's go back to what we had. When God's already moved on. The revival of the day is not going back to what was. But it's a people today with faith in the word to make it live again. Not looking back to Pentecost and what it was. And all these things. Say, well, we got to go back to the original Pentecost and restore. Yeah, the original faith. Absolutely. To turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. To do what? To bring us to perfection so that we can take a body change. That wasn't their faith back then. God's bringing you beyond that. Beyond the book of Acts faith into rapturing faith. Oh, hallelujah.
Let me find a place to close here. Oh, here we go. This is God's chosen place of worship, he says. And his promised word will be interpreted in you by him. He says, did you get that? The word that he promised to fulfill in the day. You know that's what Satan's against? He's always trying to discredit and disprove the word of God in every generation. Because he recognizes the word will not return unto him void. So if he can make the word return unto God void, he's disproved and discredited the word. So that's what he's trying to do. He's not trying to disprove and discredit the days of Luther anymore. He's not trying to fight the Lutherans. He's not trying to fight the Methodists. He's not trying to fight all of them that want to go way back and Catholic and apostolic and all the way back to all these different things. Why? Because that was the word for a different day. But he's constantly trying to disprove and discredit the message of the hour. Because that's the word that's been promised for this day. And he just wants nothing more than to return to God void again. But it will not. Because there's a people that have faith and have caused that word, by the Holy Ghost, has caused that word to live again. That's why the devil fights you. You don't get a lot of amens with that one. I don't want the devil fighting me. None of us do. However, that's why he fights you. Because you're the word made manifest. He says he will interpret it in you by him. The word that he promised to fulfill in that day that you're living in, you will be a written epistle of God, read of all men, not what you claim, but what God does through you. Not what you claim, but what God does through you will speak out louder than anything that you could claim. How do you do it? God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. That speaks through you. Not that you got to work it out, but it just happens. There's just something here that causes you. Somebody's sick and the first reaction is not, we better call 911. God bless you. There's a paramedic in here somewhere. I know there's one in the church. I don't know if he's here this morning. But that's not the first reaction. The knee-jerk reaction is, can I pray for you? Can I lay my hands on you? Because that's what the Bible said, dude. I can't help it. When all these things came out and, oh, we don't know about this. And listen, the Bible says, drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm them. Have faith in God. Christ is not coming for a first pull bride. I'm trying to get to close. Forgive me. Y'all are pulling too good. I blame you. Christ is not coming for a first pull bride. Someone that's going to say, let me see the nail scars in your hands. I need the sign in the hand. That's what I need to see. And then I'll know this is God. He's not coming for a bride like that. That was to point to something. He's not coming for a second pull bride that says, you need to perform again for me. I need to see you tell about Sarah in the tent behind you. I need to see you tell the secrets of the heart again. Then I'll believe. He ain't coming for that. That was a sign to point to a third pull. Something that's secret. Something that's a relationship between you and God alone. Something that he couldn't even, Brother Branham wouldn't even explain. Why? Let me say it this way. He's coming for himself. The parts of him that at the beginning were already a part of his mind. It was his thoughts. And spun out through time and placed exactly in the generation they were meant to live in. And now he's coming back to put himself together. Brother Brown says, don't you see that great picture? We in flesh are different. We're like a byproduct, a created being by holy wedlock. But in spirit, we are sons and daughters, not some other spirit, but the spirit of the living God. We are in his likeness, in his unity, in the perfect image of the living God. Because we become sons and daughters, not separated, but the same spirit, the same God, the same person, joined in wedlock to the eternal. See how God planned it, that we should be not a different, but him. Think about that. God planned it so that we should not be a different something, but him. Not some other being or some other tribe, but a real union and offspring of the Almighty done by a holy union. Now the body comes from mother and father, but the spirit comes from God. God separated himself as Adam was separated. On the first day of Pentecost, we find the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, separated itself out and setting upon each member of the church. What was it? God putting himself together. Then, with that group of people together, what does it do? It brings back the unified body of the Lord Jesus coming together. Aren't you glad to be one of them?
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet and sing that together. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. There's people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. They're telling now both far and wide, his power is the same. The Bible says that of his kingdom and of his peace, of the increase of his government, and there shall be no end. Hallelujah. It just gets greater and greater and greater. The kingdom of God, the government of God, did not peak at Brother Brown's ministry. It still hasn't peaked. In the wonderful where God is at right now and what he's doing for you, it's only getting better. You know what's phenomenal about that is the word is so true that when we get to the other side, it still won't have peaked. It'll just get greater and greater and greater and greater. Oh, how wonderful God is. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's omniscient. He's a wonderful God. Isn't it wonderful to serve him? Oh, blessed be the Lord. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at their
them. Although these people may not learn it, nor boast of a world of fame, they have all received their Pentecost baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide his power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and powerful service came. Now what he did for them that he'll do for you the same. Aren't you glad you can say you're one of them? Oh, I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let me just read one more thing to you, because the word is so good. Brother Branham says, that's the way to live. Live so that if God would ever want to use you, he knows right where to come get you. Live that kind of a way. Brother Branham said another place, that that's what we need is live voices. Thousands of live voices. Says, that's the thunder that shakes the enemy. When you live that kind of a life where God knows exactly where to come get you and you're in position living a clean life before God, your words are honest, your life is true, that's the place the angels come. Oh, hallelujah. Look at Elizabeth and Zechariah. See, honest, upright, all the commandments of God. That's the way we want to live. So when God's ready to use us, he says, this is my people. I can do with this church what I want to do. They believe me and they stand on my word.
Oh, don't you want to be that kind of a body of Christ? But God says, I know this is the ones. Hallelujah. When I want to move in Tucson, I got a body. I got somebody that I know I can trust. I can come to and I'll find them exactly where I need them. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing that next verse together and I'll pass it over to your pastor. Come, my brother, seek this blessing. I will turn your heart from sin. That will start your bells.